Good evening. What a great day to worship our God. I invite you to go with me to God in prayer. Heavenly Fathers, we stand before you today. We are so thankful for the many, many blessings you've given us. And Father, we are so thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this world, who lived that example, who gave us his word, his teachings, and his example. And Father, that most importantly, he hanged there on that cruel cross. And he died on our behalf to become that perfect sacrificial lamb, the only lamb in history that ever was and ever will be that is able to forgive us of our sins. Father, we thank you so much for his willingness to do your will, to obey you, Father, and to become that sacrifice when we are so undeserving of the sacrifice that was made for us. Father, as we open your word tonight, Father, we just pray that you will help it to speak to us in a special way, to help us to understand that, Father, your will should be above not only those around us, but above our own will, as hard as that may be, as difficult as it is sometimes, that your will should always be first. And help us to understand, Father, what your will is for our lives. Just be with us and bless us as only you can. For it's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that I pray. Amen. Woke up this morning and walked outside, and wow, this weather. It was cool, it was windy, it was breezy, and as I stepped out on the porch, my hair fell into my eyes because the wind blew it. It was a great day. Seriously, I walked outside, and it was cool, and one of the first things that came to my mind is, man, it's so cool outside. It feels like football weather. It's just when you think of the cool fall days, you start thinking automatically football. You start thinking about hunting and those fall activities that go on. Well, I'm going to tell you the story tonight, a little football story. And one time there was a New England Patriots fan, and he sat really high up in the stadium as he watched those many, many games. Week after week, he'd watch his Patriots, whether it was snowing, if it was raining, if it was shining, it didn't matter. He'd always watch his Patriots, but his seat was crummy. You know, he was really high, what we call the nosebleed section up there. And as he looked down one day with his binoculars, he was watching the game and just happened to look down at the first few rows there on the 50-yard line below him, and he saw an empty seat. And he'd think, man, what a waste. I mean, that seat is perfect. It's like 10 rows up. It's right on the 50-yard line, but because it's just like 10 rows up, you could see over the heads of all those linemen. And you could see the full field, and you were right there, and you were part of the action. And it was a great seat, and he thought to himself, what a waste. That seat is empty. And the more he sat there, the more he thought about that seat. And before the end of the first quarter, he had eased out into the aisle, and he was working his way down. He was heading toward that seat. And as he got down to the bottom, he was about on row 10, and he started easing his way through. And he got up to the guy sitting in the seat right beside the empty one, and he tapped him on the shoulder, and he said, sir, is this seat taken? The old guy there, he looked at him. He smiled. He said, no, he said, that was my wife's seat. She passed away. And the guy said, oh, man, I'm so sorry for your loss. He said, if you don't mind telling me, why didn't you give this seat, to a close family member, even a close friend? And the old man looked at him. He kind of smiled at me. He said, well, it's because they're all at our funeral. Some people are dedicated football fans. You know, there's a lot of people, college football, pro football, it doesn't matter. A lot of people are dedicated football fans, but, you know, I seriously doubt that anybody would be that dedicated. Well, yeah, maybe you're wrong. You know, maybe there are people who would do that. But thinking about along those lines, what is life to the average American? To some, it may be football. It may be sports in general, maybe things like that. But I think to most, when you think of the good life, when they talk about the good life, it seems to be people wanting the good job. Or they want the good cars. Or they want the making the good money and lots of time off. You know, that's kind of what they consider the good life. But unfortunately for most people, the good life wouldn't be described as one spent doing God's will. I'm here to tell you today that the good life can only be found if you are doing God's will. If you are doing God's will instead of your own, that's the only way you're going to have the good life. So I want to talk to us tonight about that good life. I want to talk to us about what will be considered doing God's will. How can I know that I'm doing God's will? What would be considered God's will? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 17. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. What is Paul talking about? What is he meaning when he's talking about the world being evil? Is he referring to the wickedness? Is he referring to all the bad things going on in this world? Is that what he's referring to when he talks about the world being evil? You know, there's another verse that talks about it, and it's in 1 John. And John's talking about the same thing. He says in chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but it is from the world. The world is passing away and all its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever." Here John's talking about doing the will of God. He's talking about putting the things of the world behind us, focusing our eyes on the will of God. So I think John also does a very good job talking about the same thing. It talks about how the world is evil, and it talks about doing God's will. I want to talk to us tonight just three simple things that we can do to make sure that we are on our way to doing God's will. Just three simple things. First thing, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 and 22. I'll be taking pretty much the remainder of my text tonight will come from Ephesians chapter 4, but I'll have it also on the screen for the most part. But the first thing we have to do is we have to put away the formal life. We have to put away our old self, or we will still be doing the things that we know are not God approved. Chapter 4, verse 20 and 22. "But you do not learn Christ in this way, if you indeed have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit." Step number one, we've got to put away that former life. We've got to take the things that we used to do, the things that the world teaches us we need to be doing, or to show us that the fun in life or the good things in life can only be achieved by doing the will of you, not the will of God. We've got to put those things away. And I'm going to go right into to the next one and talk about the second part of this, because this is kind of a two-part. And the second part is to put on the new life. So you've put off the old life, and now you've put on the new life. And in continuation, chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, "And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in the righteousness and holiness of the truth." You ever been in a wedding? I've been in a wedding. When I was a young boy, and I say young, I was a young teenager, and teenagers, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you got a lot of things on your mind when you're 13 to 14 years old. You're thinking about school, you're thinking about sports, you're thinking about girls or boys or whatever it may be. You got all these things going on in your mind. Well, when I was about 13 or 14, I can't remember how old I was asked to be in a wedding. I was in the wedding of my uncle. I was his oldest nephew, and he said, "I'm getting married, and Brian, I want you to be one of my best men." He said, "We're going to go get you fitted. You're going to wear this outfit, and you're going to be in my wedding." So we went down a few weeks before and got fitted for this tux. And, you know, I'm a country boy. Listen, I grew up on the farm picking vegetables and fruit and riding bicycles up and down the hill. We had bicycles back then, kids. Yeah, no cell phones, bicycles. I'd ride these hills. I was a country boy. I didn't know anything about a tuxedo. What's a tuxedo? You know, I didn't know anything about that. But they fitted me. They measured me all across here and here, and had this suit perfectly made for my body, which was much smaller than it is now. And when this suit came in the day before, we went to rehearsals, and that morning of the wedding, I remember, man, I grabbed this suit, and it was a tuxedo, and it looked good, and I put it on, and I had my bow tie, and I had my penguin suit around the back, and whew, man, I felt good. I felt like I looked. You ever felt like you looked good? I felt like I looked good. I felt like, man, all these girls in here, they like this. All these boys, they want to be like this. I felt good about what I was wearing. I had put on a new self. I had put on something new, and I felt good about it. When we put on Christ, when we put off that old self, that old dirty Brian that was left out in the field picking those vegetables, and I put on that new self, that tuxedo, and I had that bow tie, and my hair was all slant. I had hair back then. My hair was all slicked over, and it was hairspray put on my hair to hold it down so the wind, like this morning, wouldn't blow it down in my face. And I felt good about it. When we become a Christian and we put off that old self and we put on that new self, that's the way we should feel about ourselves, especially teenagers. Man, we have got to feel good. I am like God. I have put on Jesus. I have clothed myself in Christ. And when the world looks at me, they don't see me. Thank God they don't see me. When I put on Christ, the world looks at me and they see Jesus. Am I living up to that image? Do I want the world to see Jesus when they look at me? Or do I want the world to see Brian when they look at me? I hope my answer always is I want the world to see Jesus, not Brian. So step number one, we got to put off the old self. Step number two, we got to put on the new self. And I got some great news for you. Before we even get to point number three, point number one and two is so easy. So easy because God does it for us. If we turn to Romans chapter 6 and you read verses 3 through 4, let me read this to you. Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were then therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. When you make that decision to do the will of God, to put on Christ in baptism, and you are immersed in baptism, and you come up out of that watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life, God has put away your old self, and God has put on your new self. He's taken care of that for you. Steps one and two, done. Let's move on to step three, because I think we need to talk a little bit about step three. Step number three, put down the devil. I don't mean put him down by talking bad about him or saying he doesn't look good or he doesn't act right, because that's all truth. But I mean putting down the devil by laying him down, turn and walk away from him. You don't need the devil. And let me tell you something. That is very, very, very difficult. Let me tell you why. We live in a world where everything we do is considered fun if you do it for you. We are bombarded on our televisions. We are bombarded on our radios, on our social media, everything. We are bombarded with things of the world telling us that if you want to have fun, if you want to do the cool thing and you want to be the young person that dresses nice and looks nice and all these great things in life, then you got to do that for you. I was walking through the house this morning. The TV was on in the basement. I had to go through the basement to get to the garage where I do a lot of my woodworking and my honeydews that my wife has put me to work on. And as I walked by the TV, there was a television show on, and I'm not sure what they call it these days. I think it may have been Keeping Up with the Kardashians, okay? Don't hold me to that. But I do know that there was Bruce Jenner talking, and as I walked by, I saw that. And it was no longer Bruce Jenner. It's now Caitlyn Jenner, and he was Caitlyn Jenner there, whatever you want to call him. But one of his, I guess, son-in-laws, maybe the stepdaughter's husband, was talking about Bruce and how for 50 years, Bruce had lived his life for somebody else, not for Bruce. And Bruce had been so unhappy for so long. And Bruce deserves to be happy. We all deserve to be happy. And he's right. We do deserve to be happy. But the world is deceiving us to think that we can only be happy if we are doing our own will. We are going out there and having that sex change or doing this other thing for us because that's what's going to make us happy. And I'm going to tell you tonight that you will not find happiness. You will not find anything close to happiness in anything in this world. If you ever put yourself first, you won't be happy. You want happiness? Seek the will of God. Step number three, put down the devil. Put him away. You don't need him. You don't need him. We have to be very careful not to do the things that would allow Satan to get a foothold in our life. Everything we have among us these days is leading us in a direction to give Satan an opportunity to take advantage of us. And this world doesn't teach us the power of Satan. If you read your Bible, you will understand that Satan is a very, very powerful thing. He is very powerful. He is very deceitful. And his mission in life, from the time he was cast out of heaven, was to take me and you and all of us away from God, to separate us, to pull us to one side and put God on the other. And how is he doing that? You name the poison because he's picked it and he's using it against us right now. He has taken God from our nation. He's teaching us young people especially that if you are trying to live your life in a godly way, if you are reading your Bible and you are trying to follow the will of God, then you are following something that is old, that's obsolete. You don't need that anymore. That's something that your grandmother and grandfather and their ancestors and even back farther than that, they were okay listening to that. But this is a new world, and all this God stuff doesn't have a place with us today. That's what the world is teaching you, and that couldn't be farther from the truth. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His criteria, his expectancies of us will not change ever. If you don't think God is in your life, who moved? God didn't. He's always here. To put away the devil is a difficult thing. To put off the devil, to put the will of God first is very difficult. Because I want to, I live in a world that tells me, if you want it, go get it. If you can't afford it, go finance it. Get it anyway. But you only live once. Make the most of it. You only live once. That is the truth. You only live once if you live in this world. If you live your life giving yourself to the will of God, you won't live just once. You'll live one little short span, one little vapor, and then you'll live forever in eternity with God. So putting off the devil. James chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. The only way to put down the devil in life is by submitting to God. Submission is a hard thing. Whether you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, or whether you have a husband or wife, it doesn't matter. Submission is very difficult. But we have to submit ourselves to the will of God. We have to understand what the will of God is. Flipping back just a couple pages to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Man, Paul is encouraging us, or the writer of Hebrews. I won't say Paul. I think it may be Paul. We're going to say the writer of Hebrews is very encouraging here. And he gives us very specific instructions that include words like, fix your eyes on the prize. Focus on Jesus. I mentioned to you earlier that I grew up working on a farm. And we would go out and there would be fields, just rows and rows and rows of corn. Well, one time, and I mentioned this in my Wednesday night class last quarter when I was teaching. I was talking to someone. But I asked a farmer one time, how in the world do you get these rows so straight? Those rows are look like they're 2 miles long, and they're perfectly straight, every one of them, every one of them. And the farmer told me one time, he said, what you have to do is when you start your very first row, when you start that very first row, don't look at the ground around you. Don't look what's going on around you. Don't focus on that. You pick something at the very end of that field, and you fix your eyes on that thing at the end of that field, and you focus on that, and you drive straight for that. And when you get to the end of the field and that first row is set and it's perfectly straight, every row after that is going to be perfectly straight. But you got to focus on that thing at the very end. That's what the writer is saying here. Focus on the prize. Focus on the end. Focus on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the end result. And then your row, your path, your life will be straight and everything around you is going to fall into place like it's supposed to. Focus on Jesus. Step number one, put away the former life. Step number two, put on the new life. Step number three, put off the devil, put him away. Focus on God, focus on Jesus, focus on his will for your life. Read your Bible. All right, young people, what am I thinking right now? Ready? Nobody knows, right? Nobody knows because I didn't tell you. How do you know what the will of God is? You think God's going to look down and say, hey, you know what my will is? No. He's already done that. He's given us the Bible. He's given us his word. Study it. Focus on it. That's how you know what the will of God is. If you want to get into the mind of God, read his word. He's already told us what he wants us to do, what he expects from us. What are we doing tonight? Some of us may have been in Christ for years and years and years. Many, many years. Every day is a battle. Every day gets harder. Every day we fight Satan. Are you failing at your mission or are you winning at your mission? You've put off your old self. You've put on your new self. God's helped you with that. How are you doing with that put off the devil part? Are you doing okay on that? Sometimes I'm doing better than others. Sometimes I'm doing really good. When I get around my brothers and sisters in Christ, it seems like that's when I'm doing the best. I find encouragement. I find an uplifting that I get around the saints. People who are in this world with me, fighting the same battle that I'm fighting, facing the same troubles that I'm facing. Meeting together here, Sunday morning, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, whenever we get together. Fellowshipping one with another. Focusing on Jesus and putting this world away. Because when I leave everybody around here and the comforts that I have in my brothers and sisters in Christ, when I go out into this world and I feel lost sometimes. I feel hopeless sometimes. And I feel overwhelmed sometimes. This world gets in the way. Life gets in the way. It's hard to put off the devil when it's just me and it's just the devil and it's just God. And I'm having to choose God or devil. And this, yeah, I really want this. And sometimes my focus on God, the will of God, gets in the way of the will of Brian. And I start listening to the devil whispering over here and saying, yeah, nobody's going to know. Or you really do need this. Need. My kids say that, Daddy, I need this. We're confused in my house, the difference between needs and wants. And I'm as guilty as anybody. But we need this. And so the devil tells me sometimes, you need this. You deserve to be happy, Brian. You work hard for your money. Go get it if you want it. How are you doing? How are you doing battling Satan? Are you putting the will of God first? Or are you putting the will of self first? Because it's hard. It's difficult. If you're here tonight and you've never put on Christ in baptism, you've never submitted to his will, you've never said, I want to live the life for God, not for me. I want to live this short little life right here for God, and then I want to be with God forever. I want to be with him for eternity. My mind cannot understand eternity. I try, but I can't understand eternity. Because there's no end, and everything has to have an end, you know, and I can't see eternity. But this will be the life. I'm 41 years old, so my life, if I live a good life, and I don't get stricken by something or an accident happens, I kind of think my life is about half over, roughly. You know, 41, 82, maybe not. But my life is half over. And I can drive a stake down right here and say, the rest of my life, even though I may fall, I'm going to drive a stake down and I'm going to live the rest of my life for God. If you never put on Christ in baptism, you hadn't even laid that stake down. You got to nail down a stake and say, from this point forward, I want God to be first. And I don't care what the world tells me. I don't care what my classmates tell me. I don't care what my teammates tell me or what my coworkers tell me. It doesn't matter because I want to live my life for God. If you've never done that, you got to do step number one. If you've done that and God's fulfilled your wishes by allowing you to become a Christian and you've put him on in baptism already and you need the prayers of the church, you need to be brought back, you need to refocus yourself on that end goal, which is Jesus Christ. If you need to do that, whatever need is, that's what we're here for. That's what the church is for, the family of God, the body of Christ. We're here to help one another. And no matter what your need is, won't you let it be known while we stand and while we sing?